Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. On Monday, we read the email from a new Christian, an ex-Mormon who happened to live in the country of Sweden, who said he had a problem identifying the right church for him to attend in Sweden. And naturally, we are not familiar with a lot of the churches in that country either, but there are some things that I think that you can look for in a church before you plant yourself in a more permanent way in that fellowship. And so for the past several broadcasts, we've been looking at some of the things that you can look for in a church that will hopefully help you mature as a Christian believer. This list is for new Christians, or even if you've been a Christian for a while and maybe you're not satisfied for one reason or another in your church, and maybe you're looking for another place to fellowship, these would also be good guidelines that you could use as well. I just want to say that this is not an exhaustive list by any stretch of the imagination, and as I've also said, some might think that our list is a little bit too long. That may be, but at least it gives you something to think about and consider when you're sitting in the congregation trying to evaluate and soak in all there is to learn about a given church.
Those who have been listening to this week's broadcast, Bill, might be wondering for the punchline, especially if they're former Latter-day Saints. They were always told the one true church, and so maybe they think we're coming up with all of these little points. So at the very end, on Friday, we're going to say, now let us tell you which church you ought to go to. But that's not the case at all. There are many fine Christian churches out there, and there's not a true denomination that is the one true church. I think we need to make that clear. If you're a Latter-day Saint, don't misunderstand what we're trying to do here. We're not setting this up to come up with the one perfect church.
In going through our bullet points, let's move on here. One of the things that we bring up is, does the preaching over the pulpit emphasize what we call the horror of sin? I was putting this thing together and I couldn't think of a better word. Maybe there is one out there.
You were thinking of Jonathan Edwards, the sinner in the hand.
Well, perhaps, because sin is such an ugly, horrible thing, and it should not be taken lightly. Yes, there should be a strong dose of grace in any good church congregation, but still, sin needs to be hammered on because we are all sinful people. We all tend to run in that direction when given the opportunity to do so. And apart from the grace of God, we would certainly succumb to those sinful desires and urges that are going to offend God. So does the preaching emphasize the horror of sin and how sinful behavior offends God when we live a life that conflicts with New Testament moral standards?
Seems like so many Christians today want to justify different kinds of sins. Especially, again, since we're in this 21st century, things just have changed in the way that we view things. We're a lot more liberal-minded, or open-minded, they might say. And I would say, no, the Bible certainly has standards, and it's written for our benefit.
In other words, we go back to the Bible to get back on track as to where we should be when it comes not only our beliefs, but also our behavior.
And this is where exegesis is so important when we take our Bibles and we look at them to get out of what the Bible says rather than reading into eisegesis what we want it to say. And we've talked about that yesterday a little bit too, about this historical interpretation. But we really need to get back to the basics if we really want to live a Christian life.
This next point kind of goes along with what we just listed. Does the preaching emphasize holiness living? Does it stress that we should live godly lives that honor our Savior and give Him glory? Now, this might shock some Mormons that are listening to us because there's a stereotype out there among many Latter-day Saints that we're a bunch of antinomians, that as Christians believing in grace, it's the typical, oh, you can just go out and kill people, you know, now that you're saved by grace. That's not what the Bible says. It's not what the New Testament says. It's not what we're saying. Certainly, we understand that there should be an emphasis on holiness living that gives honor to God.
And see, James chapter 2, verse 20 and 26, verses that Mormons like to quote, says, faith without works is dead. And we would say to that,
absolutely.
Amen. And Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9, we like to quote that. We're saved by grace through faith, not by works. But people forget verse 10, we are God's workmanship created by Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. So yes, sanctification is a very important part. And if your church is not teaching holiness living, then it's not a church you ought to be going to.
I would agree. The next point, talking about grace, this has to do with the congregation.
Does a fellowship express a healthy dose of grace toward each other?
That is important. Because I'll tell you something, sometimes we come into a church and we come in with our own baggage that we don't even realize we have. And I've known people who will judge just about everything in a church, from how the people are dressed to the songs that they are singing, how the chairs are arranged, how the chairs, whether or not they're comfortable. I mean, that is not a good attitude to have. And remember, within a certain congregation, you have a number of people from different backgrounds that are at different levels within their Christian faith. And if there's an attitude in the church that everybody has to be at a certain high level, that's problematic. Mm-hmm. There should be a healthy amount of grace expressed towards other people. I've been a Christian for most of my life. It would be wrong for me to expect a person who has, let's say, been a believer for 1, 2, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, to understand and maybe experience some of the things that I have experienced over my lifetime. I should not expect them to be where I think I am. And if I think I'm higher than I should be, then I need to repent of my own pride in that area.
And I think we need to be careful, too, with the gossip chains. If a church is all about they're doing things, saying things behind people's back, writing things on Facebook about people that they shouldn't be doing.
Did I strike a nerve here? Yes, you did, because I'll tell you, Facebook is the new gossip center.
Yeah.
And it's wrong. And I'm telling you, some of the things that I find on Facebook are best kept quiet.
You have to understand, this is open for everybody. Even if they're not your friends, they
it's
can
amazing.
Get in on certain ways and be able to see what you're saying.
It's so disheartening to see some of the things that are put there out in the open, and some of the horrible things that people say about others that they would never say to their face.
Well, James does talk about this in James 3, called taming the tongue, and he likens it to a rudder. It doesn't take much to steer a whole ship. Well, a tongue is something that is very, very important to control. And if it's a church that the pastor's not able to control the people, maybe you need to be careful about going to that church and finding a church where there is a sacredness about each other's Christianity, and not talking down to each other, but rather the Bible says to uplift one another, to encourage the body.
Now, here's another point that I think sometimes might be overlooked, but should be part of a healthy church, and that is this. Does the fellowship encourage its people to be a praying people? That is so important. If there's one area in my life that I am so convicted, it's the lack of time I put into prayer. And, of course, what is the proper amount of time to put into prayer? That's the hard one. I feel like I devote myself to communication with God on a pretty healthy level, but if you were to ask me, could you do more? Of course I could. Does my church encourage me to do more? Yes, it does. And that's what I think makes it healthy. It encourages me to be in that constant communication with God, because that is really where our strength lies. And I don't think we emphasize that enough in our own personal lives. At least I know my own convictions. I don't, and I should. And it's something that I'm being vulnerable about right now, letting everybody know that. But certainly that is an area I think that's very important for the church.
Now, this might involve prayer meetings that the church has. Sometimes the men will have a breakfast where they'll do some praying, or whatever the situation is. You don't have to have necessarily a prayer meeting to be able to be encouraged to pray. Are they taking much time to pray about the needs of other people besides their own fellowship?
I think one of my biggest sins, Eric, is, and I've said this to my congregation before, I remember doing a sermon on this, that one of my faults is my propensity to be a functioning deist. And I think a lot of us as Christians are functioning deists. And what I mean by that is a deist believes that there is a God. Yeah, he put everything together, but then he kind of put it on automatic pilot and let you go your merry way. And that certainly shouldn't be the way that we think. We do believe in a God who works among his people. But yet many times I tend to forget that he's there, and I tend to not give him the time to give me the proper instructions and what I should do for today or tomorrow or the next week, because I'm so used to doing it on my own. I've got such a routine that I've had over the many years I've been on this planet, and I tend to just say, well, this is what I need to do, and this is how I'm going to do it. And I don't take the time to actually seek God's face. So that's certainly important.
Another point is, does the fellowship have a heart for the lost? Do they desire to reach others with the good news of God's grace? What do they do with evangelism, Bill? I mean, is it a church that's all about social activities and barbecues and softball games or whatever else? Those are all good things, don't get me wrong. But is there any heart for the lost? Is there any kind of witnessing going on?
If there is no preaching from the pulpit that emphasizes evangelism, emphasizing sharing the good news, I think there's a major flaw in that congregation, because certainly that should be our desire. That is the Great Commission, to take the gospel and to talk to others about the gospel. If we have a concern for the lost, why wouldn't we want to do that? A church that does not have a concern for the lost, I think is just really missing it in a huge area. We should have a genuine concern. If we enjoy what we have in Christ, why would we not want others to experience what we experience in Christ? And of course, how does that happen? By preaching the good news, by talking about the Lord, by talking about his gracious salvation, and presenting the gospel to a lost and dying world. If that's never emphasized in the church, that would be a red flag for me as well, because certainly I want a church that is encouraging the people within that congregation to take what we have and to share it with others. Tomorrow we're going to wrap up this series when we look at some more things to look for in choosing a church.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. How would you like to have Mormonism Research Ministry address your church on the subject of Mormonism? MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson have spoken at many Christian churches all over the country. You see, they can tailor their presentation to meet your church's needs. Anything from a one-day basic introduction to a weekend symposium. You'll find these PowerPoint presentations clear, articulate, and presented in a Christ-honoring fashion. So let your pastor know today that you'd like to have MRM speak at your church. Write us at contact@mrm.org. At Mormonism Research Ministry, we're committed to equipping Christian believers to effectively share their faith with their Mormon friends and loved ones. That's why we produce Viewpoint on Mormonism, as well as operate our website, mrm.org, where you can find a wealth of information on this topic. We also have books and downloadable MP3s available online. In addition, we invite you to join in on the conversation at our blog site called Mormon Coffee. We want to be your resource for helping you better share the Christian faith.